3 days after U.S. forces moved into Baghdad, the Iraqi capital remains a dangerous and lawless city. Looting and anarchy continue. So do periodic skirmishes. NPR's Ann Garrels is in Baghdad. The looting continues nonstop. Now hospitals and embassies are the target.
Absolutely. It's just continues and continues. The streets are still overrun with young men hauling away anything they can get their hands on by car, pushcart, donkey. And now in a more sinister move, looters have begun to set fire to buildings. Today I saw in just a small tour of the city, a hotel, a courthouse, and several ministry buildings all smoldering. This is profoundly depressing for many Iraqis who can only look on helpless to stop this destruction. The only sign of resistance came in Saddam City, interestingly, where a lot of the looters are coming from. This is a poor, densely populated Shia Muslim neighborhood, and residents there have set up some roadblocks and confiscated loot, sending it to a local mosque. But that's just a drop in the bucket.
Have you been inside any of Saddam Hussein's many palaces?
Yes, today I managed to get into a few. Iraqis came along with me to wonder at the elegantly appointed mansion belonging to one of Saddam's daughters. With the exception of the carved wooden walls and inlaid marble floors, there wasn't anything left to steal. It was bare. Everything, including the light switches, was gone. The luxurious mansion of Saddam's two sons have also been popular targets, along with paintings of half-naked women. Iraqis were walking away with some Arabian horses. The home of Saddam's infamous cousin has been stripped bare. Looters walked away. I didn't see that, but I heard they walked away with scuba gear, water skis, and a complete kitchen. The same went for the house of Tariq Aziz. The only thing left there was a book by Richard Nixon and a set of novels by Mario Puzo. At the palace, the main palace, U.S. troops have occupied it, so it's more or less intact. And there you see in what appears to be Saddam's bedroom racks of Italian suits, many with their tailor's labels still attached. And there's a side building where there's a hoard of luxury items, champagne, cigarettes, Persian carpets, apparently the sort of thing he dispensed to his favorites. And in the garden, troops tell me they found a pen of emaciated lions as well as some very hungry cheetahs and bears. They had delighted in feeding sheep to them.
Does the U.S. just not have the manpower to control this, or do they just not want to bother? Is this some kind of allowing the Iraqis to let off steam?
Well, they say they just don't have the manpower, but there is an utter collapse of authority here and no immediate prospect of a new order, though U.S. Army officers are saying they're starting the process of locating police and fire stations and tracking down civil servants. Iraqis are desperate to get electricity, water, and phones back up, and many say they're now living a new kind of terror. They worry that as the looting sort of abates, because there's nothing left to steal, people will shift their focus to revenge, and there are already reports around the city of score settling. Yesterday, journalists watched as a Ba'ath Party official ran to American troops for protection. He was being pursued by a group of young men determined to kill him. It seems this official had made a handsome living by turning in army deserters for a bounty. One of his victims pulled up his shirt to show the scars from his arrest at the hands of this particular official who he says shot him. And that official had hurt many more people. And Iraqis are afraid that there's going to be more and more and more of that sort of thing.
NPR's Ann Garrels in Baghdad.